always tell y'all how I'm doing, catching up with y'all. I want to know how y'all doing. You know, leave a comment, email me, DM me. Let me know how y'all doing and what y'all think, especially like after this episode. I don't want to hear no questions about when the next episode going to be, what's the next topic, da da da. We think that and we do it as we come and go. Now, I do believe there's always room for improvement, so we shall improve. But right now, I just want to know, how do you do? For me, on the other end, I am really missing being at home. My joy during the daytime is knowing that I can return back home to my bed safely and that I have a place to lay my head that feels comfortable. My bed is sturdy. I'm in my bed now, of course. And I just feel very secure with the environment that I'm in. And it takes a lot to say that because it's still justice for Breonna Taylor, who was murdered in her home. And at times, I do have nightmares and think about what ifs, or if there was a case of mistaken identity, or if I was being targeted for X, Y, and Z, how would my voice be perceived? How would I be perceived as a Black woman, be the next hashtag? I think about all those things. And when I think about that, I often think about the moments I do feel safe, to put more positive perspective into my thoughts, and how much I appreciate being by myself and thinking and planning and just doing things that makes my heart smile. And I'm very much so struggling with that because, for those of you who don't know, I have returned back to work. I've been working since June. And I know for many of my loved ones, they've been working throughout the pandemic. But particularly some of my friends don't even have to go in until next year, whether it be summer, spring, or starting back in January. And I wish I just had that more breathing room and time to spend at home in that way, because it would allow me a lot of time to just tune out, focus, and think about other shit that I've been thinking about since the pandemic began. Nevertheless, today's episode is going to be centered on working and work culture and what it means to navigate working a 9-to-5. Is a 9-to-5 worth it? Is a 9-to-5 valuable? Just really chopping it up and unpacking why a 9-to-5 can be more than a 9-to-5, and getting you closer to the goals that you intend to reach, because whether or not we like 9-to-5s, they can be valuable. They don't have to be something that we work and for the rest of our life. This episode was motivated because I've had some very tough experiences, I think, within the workforce, and it's allowed me a lot of times to think about, well, what does it mean if I am always dealing with environments that I feel sometimes can be challenging or can make me question about my Black identity and what it means to navigate these spaces, oftentimes that feel extremely unsafe? What is it that I desire for myself and for my future? And so this became very much so clear as of recent, with me just rethinking about like my life's purpose, what motivates me. All of this, the discussions we've been having about 9-to-5s during the pandemic, because what a lot of people realize is that one stream of income, and depending on one stream of income, it's not really healthy for us in terms of our financial outcomes, things that we desire, in terms of creating generational stability for ourselves, right? We kind of just need to do more than just lean into one source of income, because if that job ends, if that company no longer exists, if you yourself become fired or laid off, you know, how are you going to provide for yourself? Not having the means to provide for yourself, or, you know, figure things out, trickles you down the the playing field, where you're definitely overwhelmed and you're struggling. So today we're going to unpack 9-to-5s, more than just a 9-to-5, and I hope you all enjoy. The pandemic has taught us that having one source of income is just not enough in order to make it. And that is because if that income is lost, or if that income funds are depleted, so are your funds, so is your livelihood, so are certain challenges are going to arise and come up into your life and create challenges. And I've seen people throughout this pandemic either lose work and work on their side hustles and be able to make money, or lose work and take that time to build a business, or lose work and take that time to think. And all of these different things are so valuable, because while you're thinking, you could be in the process of planning and creating. While you're making a business, you're trying to focus on what can you do that is going to be profitable and create a change in your life. And while you're an individual that's working on a side hustle, you already have something that can be lucrative, that you're making money. And one of the things that I truly believe is a 9-to-5 can be more than a 9-to-5 when we set ourselves up in a way of understanding that we just don't want this 9-to-5 to be the end all be all of our life and what we desire and what we want for ourselves. Now, that's not to say that some 9-to-5s are so great, like they're amazing places to work. People would love to be there. As I'm clapping my hands, if you're happy, you know it, clap your hands. But on the flip side of this, there are some people who really want to work for themselves. And that 9-to-5 is the start of being able to save and invest and build some type of cushion for yourself so that you can stand on your own 2 feet and actually have funds and have money for your livelihood as you go off to build something that you own and that is entirely yours. Now, it can be very weird to think of a 9-to-5 in that way, because when we are, our first experience of being introduced to a 9-to-5 is like, hey, this is how you make money. This is how you build money for yourself. This is how you make a living. And whether or not you like a 9-to-5, it doesn't really matter. All that matters are the coins. Now, this is how I was pretty much brought up, because I was surrounded by plenty of adults who did not like the jobs that they were working or that they've been a part of for decades. But they continued to work these positions because it was something for them just to get by and build some type of stability for themselves, for their livelihood. But I also realized that this was something that people really didn't like, right? And so the examples that I've had of individuals who weren't working 9-to-5s but were doing side hustles, they really enjoyed my aunts doing hair and making money on the side. And although I don't believe any of my aunts completed cosmetology school, but they were able to build a rapport with the girls in the neighborhood and do hair and have money coming in because they knew how to braid. I'm still a black girl who doesn't know how to braid. They knew how to style weaves. They knew how to do black hair. And they did it so well that they were able to make money on the side. So even if they did not have a 9-to-5 coming in, they still made enough money to, you know, secure food on a plate for them and their kids, to make sure that they were able to get things for them that they needed personally and still be able to live within the means of what they needed. So as even though I've had an understanding of what 9-to-5s are, I've also seen the flip sides of how side hustles can bring you in money. The sad thing is, if I knew how to braid and if I knew how to do hair, I would be more swift with my with my hands and really put in, you know, some coins into investing in that and making sure that I come up, because the hair industry is booming like hell. But I say all of this to say that the 9-to-5 can be more than a 9-to-5 to help you propel you forward into to another direction. It can also be a place where you're just stacking and building and something that can be very temporary. And I want to unpack that today, because typically people love to shit on the 9-to-5. Because of this pandemic, a lot of people have shitted on the 9-to-5. A lot of people have a lot of people have said, now that this pandemic has happened, you should be doing this. You should be doing this. If you don't have a business, you're failing. If you don't have this, that, and the third, you're not trying hard enough. And I've just been really disgusted with these arguments because people just have to figure out where their next meal is coming from. People have to figure out their next job opportunity, whether or not they want to stay where they at, you know, how are they going to maximize their coins? Like, the last thing on somebody's mind is creating a business. And that is not to say that they're stupid or that they don't care enough or they're not trying to get any money. But I think the opposite approach that we could have to this is saying, like, you recognize having one source of income is not important. While we're in this pandemic, I think you should be inspired or think about ways you can make other avenues of money so that you can have more security in your life. And today's episode is dedicated to that. We're about to get into unpacking different types of income in your life, where the nine to five lies. And how to build other streams of income and how to make the 9-to-5 work for you. Some of the biggest complaints that people have about a 9-to-5 is your only way of making money is through the work you sweat, right? Your blood, sweat, and tears through earned income. And you're trading your time and your energy to make a bag. And like, that's not bad, right? Because the most common way to make money out here, people are going outside to work or working from home with the expectation that the work that they produce, that the benefits that they have, will reap them rewards. Well, a lot of individuals are either finding themselves not having enough money to make ends meet, not having enough wiggle room, or in a space where they have a 9-to-5, but the 9-to-5 is just not enough to make ends meet and have enough money left over until the next paycheck. And you typically tend to hear this argument a lot with individuals who are stretchers, like, I have $20 until the next paycheck, or $80, or only $120 to the next paycheck. And I'm just saying randomly low numbers that I know that I've experienced and I've seen other people go through too. And so when your money is that low, you're trying to figure out how to make it from point A to point B. And although the difference between point A to point B is just a space, it feels like that space is going to take forever to just reach the next paycheck because you have different bills that are coming in. You got to be able to transport yourself to and from work if you're an individual that's working outside of your home during this pandemic. You also got to be able to feed yourself, and you got to cut it close, just so close so you could still have enough to take care of your bills for the next time you get paid. And so when we think about different means of income, the 9-to-5 sits at earned income. And so earned income is the money that you receive for working for a company or individual working in a business or working in a business that you own. And your net earnings, whether it's from self-employment or from earned income, includes salary, wages, tips, any benefits you may receive, you know, and even, I believe, pre-retirement age disability benefits also are a form of earned income. Now, earned income is also looped into active income. They're basically used interchangeably, right? So it's income for which services have been performed. If you group your business income, right, your income from your job, any commission-based stuff that you've worked, all of that is looped into active income because it's services that's been performed. If you are a nail tech and you perform slaying people's hands, shout out to Nails by Ness. Love her dearly. That's my black nail tech. That is a earned income / active income. It's her business. She has multiple businesses, but that's active income that is being earned from the services that she is producing. Me, my main primary source of income is for my day job. And so you always hear that joke where people be like, well, don't quit your day job. Like, you might have a dream, but you may want to stick to just that 9-to-5 to make sure that you have some secure money coming in, because I don't know if you're going to make it from just that and third. Moral to the story is the day job brings in the most money for me. And so that is me exchanging my services for the research that I produce, for the projects that I have assigned to me, and that is me making money. People will always say, especially within the personal finance space, that having more than just earned income is important, because you also want to be able to have what they like to call passive income. And passive income is income that you receive from royalties, patents, license agreements, money that is made from the side, in which you do not have to exchange your services to make that money. All right. And so what does this look like? If you're a homeowner and you own a rental property, you have a tenant who is living in that property and they are paying you to live there. That is a form of passive income. If you are a landlord, or if you are contracting out services for individuals to fix up your tenant's needs, you know, that could be perceived very differently, because part of your job as a landlord is to make sure that you make sure that the house is fixed up and all together. But if you are not doing the brunt of the landlord work and you're just collecting the dollars and you have somebody else who is taking care of business, that is perceived definitely as passive income. You got money coming in. So whatever that money that is coming in from your renters, they can either, number one, you could put that money towards your own personal bills or paying off the property that you own. If you already have paid off that property, that money could be utilized for something else. It's just money that is coming in. People like to look at passive income as easy money, right? Money that you could sleep with and make overnight. I have business income, but I also know that if somebody were to purchase an ebook, or if somebody were to purchase an item for me to do X, Y, and Z for themselves, that can also be perceived as passive income, because it's money that I don't technically have to work for it and trade my services consistently. It allows you to flow freely. You're able to make money without having to be there. You have a level of access that allows you the mobility to maneuver as however you like, because there is something that you are providing that is accessible without you being the main product or the, I hate to refer to humans as products because we're not, but you being the main source of putting the work in to get that money. And then there's what we like to call portfolio income. Right. And so that's money that is received from investments, whether it's including dividends, interest, royalties, or capital gains. In many ways, portfolio income can be a subset of passive income, but it is grouped very differently in terms of how the IRS looks at income. So if any of you are ever curious about this, when I tell you Google is great, Google is great. You can go into Google and you can type in types of income IRS. The IRS has an entire site that lists different types of income. And although it is listed under tax topics, it's important for you to know, like, what are the different types of incomes that I have. So they list different types of income as wage and salaries. They list it as interest received for any, you know, accounts that you have where you have a lot of money that's stacked and you're making a hell of interest off of that money. It can be noted. Dividends, business income, capital gains and losses, pensions and annuities, lump sum distributions, rollovers from retirement plans, rental income and expenses, renting residential and vacation property, farming and fishing, earnings for clergy, unemployment compensation, gambling income and losses, bartering income, scholarships, fellowships, grants, and other grants, social security and equivalent, railroad retirement benefits, 401k plans, passive activities, stocks and options, traders and securities, receipt of stock and demutualization, canceled debt. And they also have, form 1099-A, which is acquisition of abandoned or secured property, and form 1099-C, which is cancellation of debt. Most of this is separated to the extent of proper verification for tax documents, but all of the incomes that they have listed, they also have a topic number specifically for each of the items that I've just read through that you can read and understand what are the different types of income that the IRS is able to identify and if you're making any of these things. Now, as I've read through this list, I noticed that there are some things that I've actually have had access to or, you know, streams of income from. And as I am reading this to you, or as I've read this to you, I know that you probably have been like, oh, damn, Charlie, wait a minute. Like, if we're listing these as income, I definitely have some income that I've received. For instance, I did a panel and I got paid for that panel. If you got paid for that panel, you speaking and talking is a form of income. If you sold an ebook this year, draft up an ebook or any type of topic to help individuals and you charge money for that, that is a source of income. If you provided a service, I mean hair, nails, hair, okay, sewing clothes on the side or making people specialized gowns, that is a form of income. Another form of income, okay? If you even did some consulting work, just advising an organization about money or how to get access to X, Y, and Z and do this, that, and a third, that is a form of income. It's a form of income. If you're an individual that did cleaning, you cleaned somebody's house and you got paid for it, that is a form of income. Oh, you read some resumes this year? You did a CV, you did all of that. Oh, and you made some money on the side of that. I don't care if it was $50. That is a form of income. If you did social media work, oh, let's talk about it. You did social media work this year. You helped put together a graphic or you helped somebody curate a page and you got paid for that. That is a form of income. You've been podcasting and you probably made $1 or $2 and you've been talking and talking and talking. And you don't know how much it's going to pay, but you're just going to continue to talk. That is a form of income. Moral to the story is there are many ways to make income outside of our traditional 9-to-5. And so a lot of people within, like I said, the personal finance space, you find them often telling you how critical it is to have more than just a 9-to-5 and active income. You want to push yourself to be able to make passive money, money in your sleep, money that makes money for you so that you're able to have more stability and leverage yourself in this way. Well, if people want to push you into having different forms of income, the question is the 9-to-5 really that bad? Is it bad that I only have a 9-to-5 or that I haven't figured out what services or different things that I can do to make passive income? Is it bad? Let's talk about it. There's a swarm of people telling individuals whether or not the 9-to-5 is the only thing that people should be working for. Like, you know, I've seen videos saying that, you know, 9-to-5 just ain't it for me anymore. I've seen individuals, because of money that they've saved or things that they desire to do, say that they're quitting their 9-to-5. I've seen individuals market towards people with 9-to-5s telling them, you guys need to do these set of tools in order to make $1 million and do X, Y, and Z, or you don't care about yourself enough. And they're very toxic narratives that people put out there. I want to be very frank. I think having multiple streams of income is beneficial, because if you're only relying on one source of income, it becomes harder for you to maneuver certain things just in case your check don't come out right or something goes wrong. Like, you got to be able to have different hustles going on in your life. What I will say, though, is that for those who have a 9-to-5 as their primary source of income, that can be utilized to get you from point A to point B. And there's nothing wrong with having your 9-to-5 be your primary source of income. And if you desire to be an individual that wants to seek other avenues, such as entrepreneurship or doing things that bring you more money through passive income streams, you can be able to do that. But here are some reasons why people identify that a 9-to-5 may not be what people desire. And this was written in the pros and cons, rather, that I'm going to read through, were written by Jane Thompson, who wrote an article titled "Working 9-to-5, Not a Way to Make a Living?" And this came from the blog Truity. Don't really know what they do, but they have different personality tests that people can take and things for businesses to use as resources, whether it be for individual teams or for personal business pursuits. And this is how they identify it. Question number one, is a 9-to-5 a waste of your life? For those who do not support 9-to-5s, individuals often say that working a 9-to-5 is not a natural state for most of us. Sure, there are some who love the routine of going to work and spending the next 8 hours at a desk, but others, usually labeled creative types, can feel bogged down or stifled by this level of routine. Number two, humans are not robots. We don't plug in and perform at the same rate of output for 8 hours straight. Our energy comes in peaks and troughs. Why not work when we're the most productive, not when a job demands it? Three, people were not born to work in cubicles. A cubicle is literally a box that you are put inside. It's a metaphor for an authentic life where you can't charge what you are worth or recognize your full value. I think they've made some very important points when we look at whether or not the 9-to-5 is a waste of your life. There are some people who work 9-to-5s and they do not work in a cubicle. They work in an office. And what many people have experience within their 9-to-5 varies, right? Depending on the industry you work in, depending on if you're able to use your creativity to make a living, right? Or if you're working a dream job. When we look at what is a 9-to-5, I do think living in a very structural system can be challenging, because I've worked in jobs that were very much so traditional 9-to-5. After 5, you're not doing any work. And then I've worked on the flip side, other jobs where you work in your 9-to-5, you're working some weekends and even some after hours, or sometimes you're not getting off work to really late at night because this is what the job is, and it's very much so unconventional and your life surrounds your work. And in those type of jobs, it can be frustrating because your life should not surround your work. You should have a life outside of the 9-to-5 hours and be able to have the flexibility to do things you desire and not feel very tied up, because you don't have certain boundaries in place for the work that you produce, because you're fearing that you will get fired or that somebody will tell you to suck it up because this is the job that you signed up for. Those things are very real. The flip side of these arguments is that some people tend to think that, you know, individuals rather be broke and do what they love than be rich and miserable. And it's not fair to tell an individual that. I remember one time sitting in a work meeting and being told that, like, if I wanted to get to, you know, a higher level position, I would have to do X, Y, and Z. I would have to interact this way. I would have to kiss ass. I would have to learn how to not piss people off. I would have to do all of these different things that I didn't feel like really is what my personality is, or the type of space that I desire to work in a workspace. And that experience caused me to really look inward and ask myself, all right, what is it do I need to get from this job position in order to jump to the next position, or in order to figure out how I can land a level of security for myself outside of what this job brings? Because I've been experiencing a lot of unsafe workspaces or spaces that just feel kind of uncomfortable, and it is very much so the environment and the work that we're doing, as much as it is my values and what I feel personally I bring and what I want to take from this position, that triggered me to think about where do I see Charlie's future in the next 20 to 30 years? Is it that I want to consistently be working under individuals, or do I want to provide something for myself or have something for myself that is rooted in creating generational stability and breaking down the barriers that I've seen that has existed in my life for a very long time? Opposite of this, right? While we look at the 9-to-5 as being something that is negative, or that people should look as a plus one, like I also have things in addition to this, there are some positives that come from having a 9-to-5. And as this article states, they ask the question, is the 9-to-5, can it be used as liberation? The author notes that it is possible for a person to be successful and passionate and authentic while working a 9-to-5. And whether or not you're a freelancer or someone who sets their own schedule, who can work from a bench, who could do work wherever they decide to be, in many ways it can be blissful. And there's a difference in being a person who is between work and not working and enjoys the work that they do, how they manage their time, what is their work product, right? How does that work product benefit the people who receive it? But by contrast, looking at a 9-to-5 as a predictable work pattern and something that is negative, what the 9-to-5 can give you is a secure job that pays a predictable wage, letting you know what your goals are, or where most of the risk is on somebody else's back, or at least it's shared, you know? Being able to have this security, you know what to expect, you know what financial goals you need to reach in order to finesse or maneuver certain spaces in order for you to reach a certain goal. Number two, life outside of work. It is possible to work a 9-to-5 and have a life outside of work. Once that clock ticks 5 p.m., you able to do what you want, go where you want to go, cook, work out, go to dinner, go on a date, travel, do some creative shit. If your 9-to-5 allows you to do that, there is some flexibility that exists, but it is not unison for everybody who has a 9-to-5, because there are some people who 9-to-5 become 9-to-10s, who become 9s to 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, depending on the work that they work in and the products that they are producing. Some people will also say that in support of a 9-to-5, right, it creates greater efficiency. As the author notes, essentially, you may have a deadline every day at 5 p.m. And so being able to hold yourself accountable to those boundaries means you have to be able to focus and prioritize tasks. And being able to do that consistency means you're a very efficient person. And you're able to bring that as a skill that's transferable anywhere. Number four, working a 9-to-5 may not be the only thing you're doing within your 9-to-5, right? I have a 9-to-5, but I also have different passive things that I'm working on, such as Broke Black Bougie. So while I'm working on this, I have other streams of income that I have. Even though I have my 9-to-5, and my 9-to-5 is very much so unconventional, I'm also able to do projects on the side that fuel my passion. And while you're doing your 9-to-5, you do have the opportunity to give back. So instead of hoarding skills that may be for personal gain, or you may be interacting with an individual who has a little bit more time and longevity for you, there are certain things you can pull from individuals who are elders in that position to help you through your career. And 9-to-5s provide that, because often so you will see an elder senior or somebody who's been there longer than you that could put you on speed. Case in point for me, I was able to meet an individual who did a lot of service within the public sector. And she put me onto understanding how vacation time works and why it's so important to make sure you have some vacation time when you leave, so you can leave not only with a bag and your lag pay, but you also leave with your vacation pay and anything else that you desire to pull from that organization. those things are really important. So when I look at overall, whether or not a 9-to-5 is just a 9-to-5 or if it's something that people desire, what I will say is this. I respect creative jobs. I respect work that helps to propel you forward. I respect safe spaces that are 9-to-5s. I respect 9-to-5s that actually do not have anti-blackness, racism, or any other fucking isms that exist within that workspace. I respect 9-to-5s that propel people forward in a direction that helps them have more than a 9-to-5. But because of celebrity culture and because of different conversations that exist in society, it makes it very hard for us to unpack what a 9-to-5 is and whether or not we feel valuable or we're in a place where we feel like the 9-to-5 is working for us because we're looking to other people to validate our 9-to-5 and experiences. I think for many of us, we get wrapped up in what celebrity culture tells us about what it means to work, what it means to have a job, what it means to arrive. Because for many celebrities, they're already in a space where they have influence, right? And so typically what you see are individuals who have fame and influence, holding power, being able to get things for free, being able to promote certain things and getting paid, being able to make $5,000 in an hour, being able to do and make an enormous amount of money that they probably wouldn't be able to have access to if they weren't in a famous position or a position where they have such a huge following that people are after them. And I think that the influence culture that we see today plays a huge role in the way we perceive what is a 9-to-5 or what it means to work these job positions, because even influencers are at the point where they're teaching people with consistency, with consistently showing up for your brand, with doing X, Y, and Z and providing a certain level of service, you can be paid to do this. You can be reviewed by doing this. You know, you have an avenue where you can show people and detail to people what it means to go through X, Y, and Z. And although I fundamentally agree that now there are different means to make money, there are different levels of access that we can enter into, whether it's through vlogging, through blogging, through creating stuff out of need, right? Still, there are so many few and far in between that are able to have access, and people who can really grasp that concept. So when we hear, you know, the most recent scenario of this is when Sweetie was telling individuals, if your man can't buy you a bag, a Birkin bag, if your man not paying bills or doing X, Y, and Z, then he's for the fucking streets. And although we live in a culture now through the City Girls and through people like Sukiana who are teaching women that it is important that you get something out of a relationship that you're not just used. And I fundamentally do agree with that. But there are a lot of challenges that people have because there are individuals who are a part of the 1% and telling individuals that they need to demand X, Y, and Z from people when they're not even in that tax bracket or they don't even have money in their bank account to demand a Birkin or this, that, and a third. What I want to say is just because you don't have $100,000 in your bank account or you are not rich or you are not sitting on millions does not mean you do not deserve quality. That's something we have to separate ourselves from. Just because you are not rich and famous does not mean you don't deserve quality. So no matter what your bank account looks like, no matter the circles of individuals you are around, you deserve quality and you deserve access to having quality. Don't get it twisted, because we tend to tell individuals, whether or not they're in a lower socioeconomic class, that, oh, because you're poor, you don't deserve an iPhone. Because you're poor, you don't deserve good shoes on your feet that last a long time. And it's fucking sickening. It's like maybe having an investment in things that last longer and that are of quality can help long term for individuals who have to stretch their dollar a little further. But when we have the conversation about a Birkin bag, I want to be very transparent in my feelings surrounding the Birkin bag. I think you have to Birkin it within your means. I've always been a person that believes that you need to work within your means. And so if you having a Birkin is really important to you, then you also shouldn't be strapped for cash. You also should be an individual that has access to money. You should be an individual who has some type of generational wealth plan and some level of financial security. Your cushion shouldn't be one pillow, you know, or one sack. It should be hella comfort. When we say build a cushion, this is what we mean, you know? And so when I hear the narratives, and I think, you know, everybody, Birkin bag me, like, people love to tap into those moods because they are a mood. And sometimes we want to feel like we got more than what we do. You know, this is part of being bougie sometimes. We want to get there. We're not there, right? We're not there. So the idea, it is something that we perpetuate, especially when I look at the Black community, we perpetuate these narratives all the time that we need to have something that is of a name brand or of a certain status. And to be honest, I'm tired of hearing about the Birkin bag because we always giving our fucking money to these Europeans who ain't doing shit for our community and we just getting them rich. And once a bag hits the urban market, people start to look at shit differently because they don't be valuing us Black people, even though we be putting stuff out there, we be promoting, giving y'all free ass promotion and other people wanting to tap into your shit and give you a coin. Oh, yes. Oh, we're going to take it there because, you know, this is broke Black bougie. And so when I look at the discussions about the Birkin, it's just, it annoys me. And furthermore, like, if I don't got 25,000 sacks sitting in my bank account, or if I don't got access and means to X, Y, and Z, that's not something that I necessarily want. If my love bug tries to come and buy me a fucking Birkin, I'm going to look at his ass and be like, give me the cash. We about to flip this. I mean, you could flip a purse so many ways, but not everybody has money to give you something that should be a collector's item or something that should be very rare. So for me, I want the sacks. Fuck the purse, the symbolic, to show somebody that I have X, Y, and Z. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. And for those of you who are hearing the beep, y'all know I record in my house. And it's beeping like a motherfucker out here because it's the bus. You know, it's early polling sites that they have today for the election, early voting time. And so a lot of people are up and at it, and it's a lot of traffic out. But moral to the story that I'm trying to say is I'm just not interested. I'm interested with working within my means. And I'm also like, if you can give me a bag, you know, thank you. But I would prefer the coins. And I would prefer a level of flipping it. And if you don't even got your money right and you trying to get me this type of bag and you don't, and it's not a bag that you could afford, why am I dealing with you? Those are the questions that I have. But I say this all to say, when we look at the 9 to 5, we tend to look at what celebrities feel like. I make your bag in a day. I make your bag in an hour. I'm able to do this in a week. I'm able to do X, Y, and Z. Yes, all of these things could be very much so true. We have celebrities who often tell people, you don't need to be doing X, Y, and Z. You don't need that job. And just because that person has arrived or they've worked a 9 to 5 before and they've broken the cycle and they've done whatever they needed to do for themselves financially, don't mean it's in my Black ass best interest to not get my coins. Like, the narrative really has to change, because a lot of people, especially celebrities who, celebrities during the pandemic, they've talked a lot about how the bag has changed. Without having access to concerts and being able to travel to make money, people have been going to the internet and looking for other means to build economic security for themselves. And just as individuals who are not of celebrity status have been trying to do the same thing, the difference is many of these celebrities already had access to money. But for those of them who have been flexing, they've been out here acting like, oh, I got it like that. I got it like that. I got it like that. And they really don't, because they have bad financial management habits. And so we've seen a lot of people move to OnlyFans in order to interact with their fans, but flooding the market, you know, taking the lens, or I don't want to say taking the lens off of sex workers, but moving off of sex workers, you know, that was a place where sex workers were actually being able to make money for themselves and build stability for themselves. And now it's overly saturated with celebrities who already have money, who are pulling their audience towards them. It is a weird pyramid dynamic that I am extremely sick of and irritated by. But the reality is, you know, there's been a shift in how people are making money. And so for those who have the privilege of getting bands for appearances and showing up and being social media personalities or being an influencer, being a famous individual, and for those who have faced the reality of, you know, losing a job position, wondering if their 9-to-5 is for them, you know, wanting some type of access to fast money, this, that, and the third. You hold the advice that you get from these celebrities with a grain of salt, because at the end of the day, they are not the individuals who will be paying your bills. They are not the individuals who will be making sure you have food on the table to eat and your utilities are working. They will not be the individuals to come into your life and be a source of protection. So you might be a fan, you might be inspired by the words that they're saying, but don't get caught up and feel like your 9-to-5 ain't shit when, once again, your 9-to-5 is that path for you to do something else, whether it be continuing on into a different career path or building a foundation or platform for yourself. Don't get wrapped up in the hype. To maximize your 9-to-5, whether it's a space that you want to be in or a space that is temporarily working for you to help you reach other goals, there are a few things that I want to leave you with in your 9-to-5 journey. The first thing is you need to write out your goals. Short-term, long-term, and how this job is going to help get you there. If it's an end to a means, so be it. Let it be what it is. But you need to recognize and visually see what that job is going to be able to do for you. Number two, you need to write you some positive words that positive sayings that you say to yourself to get you geared up and ready to go to work. It may not be the best thing in the world for you. You know, it may not be something that you feel so compelled to get up and go to, but write out some words of inspiration for yourself. And if your job does inspire you, write out the reasons why and what you wish to bring to your next position or to other people who are struggling and having a hard time with their jobs. Number three, identify somebody you can connect with, a resource, a mentor, somebody who can help give you game, or an individual who you can lean on as a future reference or a future individual to pull information from. When I tell you that your 9-to-5 has to be looked at as more than a 9-to-5, if you are an individual who wants to go into entrepreneurship, you need to look at that 9-to-5 as the start or the beginning of you saving your coins to get up out of there. You saving your coins for funds, one stream of income for you. It just one example of a stream of income for you. You need to be pulling something away from that. To make it more than a 9-to-5 for you, you need to be able, when you get out of there, to leave with something tangible, something that can help you forward, somebody who you can lean on or who can inspire you. You need to look at it in that way. Number four, you have to be able, no matter how hard it gets, no matter how shitty it may be, you need to be able to identify some
ways in which you are thankful for the position that you have. If you thankful and you happier on the week you get paid, that's something to be thankful for. If you're an individual that you like the perks, something that your job offers that like other jobs don't have, or they offer these cool little quirky things, that's something to be thankful for. If you like the food that your job has, that's something to be thankful for. What I'm trying to say is there is always something to be thankful for, even in the madness. Even if your 9-to-5 inspires you to never want to have a 9-to-5 again, be thankful that it put the plug and the idea in your mind to spark a new chapter for you.